I want to welcome you today to our virtual worship service for this weekend. As we approach this today, I realize this is a very different experience for each one of us. Currently, this is Friday morning for me, and I'm sitting here with Pastor Steve and Diane, our administrative secretary. They are the congregation that I can see at this moment. But I realize that many of you are going to be gathering over this weekend to worship from your homes. I want to give a special welcome to the church family and say I miss you being here. I would much rather preach to each of you being here in the room. But we're doing the best in this situation to be able to worship and connect as a church family. But I do want to say I do miss you. With that in mind, though, too, I do want to welcome any guests that we would have outside of the church family. We do know that the Cambridge home will be sharing in worship with us this weekend. We'll be providing a copy of the service that they will be using on Sunday. But we also realize there would be others, as this is posted online, others that might be joining in to this time of worship. And we just want to welcome you today to this weekend worship service for the Warren Alliance Church. You know, some of you may be thinking, the idea of worshiping from home may not be that bad of an idea. You may be excited that for once you get to worship in your pajamas. Not that we've been keeping you from coming in and doing that, but you also may be excited just thinking you can step out of the room and refill your coffee at any time, or that if you have to, you could mute the pastor. Hoping that you choose not to do that, we really are hoping that this can be as interactive as possible, and today we just want to encourage you to take the time today to really just focus in these next few moments to really hear God's word. We're going to be looking at Psalm 91, if you want to turn to there in your Bible, but we're going to be looking at Psalm 91 today, and we encourage you just to allow this to be a time of prayer and reflection together as a family or whoever might be gathered with you today. I want to ask you in this moment, though, as we're just really only a week or so into the current crisis, how are you feeling? As you look around the room that you're in right now, most of you being in your home, are you seeing your home as a refuge, a shelter, or are you seeing your home as a cage? Maybe you're at a place where you might have initially, based on concern and everything that's going on around us, you may be in that place of you're seeing your home as a refuge, a place of shelter, and a place where you can be safe with those that you love. But some of you, I'm guessing, are probably struggling a bit of feeling like that home is a cage. A lot of the places you like to go are closed. You can't get out to the Y. You can't get out to some of the other places that you would like to go each day. Some of you may be struggling at home dealing with young kids, that maybe those first few days seemed exciting, like a snow day, but it's turned into something more and you're struggling just being at home with the kids and the whole family and trying to keep everyone entertained and everyone at peace. Whether you're considering being in your home today as a cage or as a refuge, today the psalm that we're going to be looking at, Psalm 91, it's a well-loved psalm. I know often if I go into the hospitals and places where I read the scriptures with others, Psalm 91 is often listed by many people as one of their favorite psalms. And this psalm really focuses on the issue of where we find ourselves, our home. Do we find our home and our shelter in God, or do we find our home and our shelter in something else? So we're going to basically just walk through Psalm 91 today, and I want to encourage you today that whether you're tuning in and you're really looking at this passage maybe for the first time, or whether these are familiar words to you, I want to encourage you to be thinking about your own heart, your own life, your own faith and confidence, and ask yourself, are you dwelling in the shelter of the Most High God? Psalm 91, verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." The he who dwells, that word for dwell is literally, it's where we remain. where we live. Some of you are familiar with John 15 and the call to abide or make our home in Christ. It's the same idea. It's the place where we live, the place where we dwell, the place that we remain. We're told in this psalm, in these words, it's a, verse 1 is a statement of promise, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The word abide is the same idea, the place where we live, the place where we dwell, our shelter, our home. The promise in this word, this verse is that if we dwell in the shelter of the Most High, we will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It's a promise of protection, of us choosing to put our trust in God and coming under his watchful care and his protection. Verse 2 moves beyond this statement of promise, this statement of invitation to choose to trust God and put our care and our lives in his hands, to a place of declaration of our own faith. Verse 2, the psalmist is making a declaration. Now, having heard this promise of he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, he now moves on to a place of declaring his own faith and saying, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He's making a declaration of his faith. And his faith is very clearly being put in God himself, the one who would provide his watchful care over his life. In verses 1 through 2, we see four different names listed for God in these verses. We see the Lord, or Yahweh, Jehovah. We see the Most High, El-Yon, the Almighty, El-Shaddai. And in the simple statement that he makes at the end of verse 2, he says, my God, my Elohim. He's putting his faith and his confidence in the Lord his God, who is almighty, who is above all. As we come today and as we think of the things that might concern us, whether it's the current crisis or some other stress or situation you might be going through, it's an incredible opportunity to take our eyes and our focus off of the immediate concern and to focus our thoughts and our attention upon the God who holds the world in his hands. The psalmist, in declaring this statement and making this declaration of his faith, is not only saying that God is his refuge, he is his fortress, but he's clearly stating that he will put his trust, have his confidence in God himself. The idea of God being a refuge, we see all throughout the Psalms and other places in Scripture that God is our shelter, the place where we can run when we have concern. God being our fortress, it's a place that is a stronghold. It's like a military image, the idea of a keep or a castle, a place where we would go and find protection, a place of safety. And the psalmist's declaration that his refuge and his fortress will be my God, the one in whom I trust, he's making a statement of his faith, of who he has put his faith in. His faith is in God alone. Today, I want to ask you, are you in a place that you're choosing to put your confidence and faith and your trust in God? Are you making your home in him and coming under his watchful and protective care? I love the story that author and pastor and author John Ortberg shares. From a number of years ago, he wrote about being on Newport Beach with a couple of his friends, some staff from his church. And the place on the beach where they were walking went along some businesses, and they came to a place where there was a bar. And they heard a commotion, and outside of this bar, a fight that started inside the bar rolled out onto the beach. And they saw this fight, and they realized that there was one of the individuals was beaten up pretty badly. He was outnumbered and was on the losing end of this fight. And John and his friends decided they needed to do something. So they stepped into the situation, and they said, hey, guys, cut that out. And the guys just looked at him and just continued in this fight until they looked again. and their whole demeanor changed, and John didn't understand, his friends didn't understand what was going on until they turned around and saw that a local bouncer in one of the bars had come by, the John and his friends later called Bubba. This giant of a man, 300 pounds, 6'7", was standing behind them in this moment where they're choosing to intervene in this fight. And so it went from a place where these guys that were in this fight totally were ignoring John, and they had no confidence that they were going to be able to do anything to help this young man, to now having extreme confidence because they were in the shadow of Bubba. Bubba didn't say a word. This is what John writes. He says, Bubba didn't say a word. He just stood there and flexed. You could tell he was hoping they would try and have a go at him. All of a sudden, my attitude was transformed, and I said to those guys, you better not let us catch you coming around here again. I was a different person because I had great big Bubba. I was ready to confront with resolve and firmness. I was released from anxiety and fear. I was filled with boldness and confidence. I was ready to help somebody that needed helping. I was ready to serve where serving was required. Why? Because I had a great big Bubba. I was convinced that I was not alone, that I was safe. We have a choice. The psalmist in Psalm 91 is presenting us with that choice, that we can choose to make God our shelter, to make him the place where we live, that we go to him as a refuge, as a fortress, and put our confidence and our trust in him. The psalmist goes on in verses 3 through 6 to start to flesh this out. And now he's moving from now in verse 1 stating the promise to verse 2 making this declaration of his own personal faith. Now he's given explanation and detailed explanation of why not only he can put his faith and trust in God, but that we can put our faith and trust in him. Verse 3 through 6 reads, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. We don't have time to unpack each of these statements, but the psalmist is giving very specific details of how he has experienced God's watchful care, and he's presenting this not only as a personal statement, but for those who are hearing these words to be reminded of the confidence and the trust that we can have in God. He states that he will deliver you from the snare, the trap of the fowler, the idea of someone setting a trap. God would deliver him. He goes on to say that God will deliver you from the deadly pestilence. And that idea of pestilence is pretty relevant in our current situation because it's a fatal epidemic disease. God can deliver us from a deadly pestilence. He can deliver us from the coronavirus. He can deliver us from whatever trap or whatever situation we may find ourselves in or whatever evil we might face. He goes on to talk not only about God's deliverance, but he says he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. And this is a theme we see throughout the Old Testament, the idea of God providing protection for his people in the same way that a bird would cover its young with its wings. It's an image of God's protective care. He goes on in verses 5 through 6 to unpack this even more. He says, you will not fear. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. You see in these words a variety of dangers, a variety of things to be concerned about, the terror of the night, the arrow, the pestilence, the destruction. You might add your own things to that list. But you know what I want you to see in these verses that I think are so important is there's an issue of time in each of these statements. There's four dangers presented at four different times, that you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. The psalmist is here very clearly saying that no matter what time of day, no matter what danger, no matter what time of day, we can trust God's protection and we need not fear. The psalmist goes on in verses 7 through 8, and honestly, these would be the verses as you're reading this that you might be tempted to skip. But I want to read this and make just a few comments. Verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. This idea, the recompense of the wicked, and here the psalmist is, this is a theme you see throughout the Psalms. It's the cry for justice. David often would cry out for justice on those who would be attacking him without cause. The psalmist is crying out, not only trusting God for his protective care, but he's trusting God for there to be justice. But even more so, this idea, this contrast you see in this psalm of those who put their trust in God and who the psalmist describes as the wicked reminds us that we have a choice. We have a choice to choose to trust God, to bring our lives under his protective care, to put our faith and our confidence in him, or to choose to go a different way. The psalmist here is reminding us that this is an invitation. It's an invitation to dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. And he reinforces this idea of dwelling in verse 9 and 10. He says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Same idea of dwell and abide that we had in verse 1. You have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. The psalmist then goes on in verses 11 through 13 to actually unpack this idea that God will even command his angels to give their watchful care and protection over our lives. And when we read all this, that all these things that we don't have to be afraid of and how God is going to be providing his protection and his care for those who put their trust in him, we almost get this sense of we're invincible. And this is where I want to pause for a moment and deviate a little bit away from Psalm 91 and remind us that when we go to God's word, we always need to interpret God's word with God's word. We need to interpret a passage of scripture in the context of the whole message of scripture. And we understand that if you look at the whole message of scripture and you look at the experience of God's people through the ages, while we can have the confidence to trust God to be our refuge, and to trust his protective care, we're not invincible. We understand that even as believers, we're not immune from suffering. We're not immune from sickness. This psalm is serving the purpose of challenging us to choose to come to God and put our confidence and our faith in him. But we do need to remember some of the other messages of scripture and from God's word that remind us that we're not immune from suffering. We're not immune from sickness. We're not immune from trial. But some themes that I think are important with that in mind is to remember that even in those moments where we do suffer, where we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, we have the promise that God is with us in our suffering. We see this in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd passage in verse 4. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There are going to be times in our life that we do face sickness, that we do face trials, that we face challenges, and even in the midst of those dark times, we have the promise of God's presence. We also need to be reminded as Christ followers that we have a Savior who is acquainted with suffering. Jesus understands suffering. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words even before Jesus walked in flesh on this earth. He wrote in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5, describing Jesus' suffering. He says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We have a Savior who understands suffering, and he walks alongside with us when we go through dark and challenging days. But one of the greatest themes along this line is that we need to be reminded of is that while we're not immune from suffering, we're not immune from pain and the trials, it is the believer's hope to know that there is a day coming, a future coming, that there will be no more death, there will be no more suffering. Revelation 21, verse 3 through 4, John, in his vision, writes, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.'" With those reminders in place, it's important that we realize that Psalm 91 is not telling us to be invincible, to go out and not to use wisdom and how we respond even to the current situation, but that in the midst of this situation, in the midst of whatever trial and challenges we might face, we can put our faith and trust in God. And we can choose to dwell in the shelter of the Most High and live under his protective care. I love the fact that this psalm, though, moves on. You see, again, that verse 1, you see the promise that the psalmist presents. And then verse 2, you see his declaration of faith. And then the descriptions of all the ways in which we can put our faith and confidence in God. But this psalm actually ends with a shift in perspective to where it's no longer the psalmist writing or speaking. God himself speaks. And before we close, I want to read these verses, Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. You see in now this shift in voice to where it's not the voice of the psalmist, it's the voice of God himself affirming the message of the psalmist when he writes and says, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and I will honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." God here is affirming the faith of the psalmist, and he's affirming the call for each one of us to put our trust in him. And whatever you might be concerned about, you may not in this moment be concerned about the coronavirus. You may have other cares, other concerns, other fears. In this moment, I encourage you to seriously consider looking at your heart and your life and ask yourself, are you putting your trust in God? Have you come to a point of understanding who Jesus is and putting your full faith and trust in Christ and the salvation that he gives us? Are you putting your confidence in him to be walking with us through whatever challenges we face, but to know the joy and the incredible privilege of being able to come to God and live under his protective care, knowing that he is with us? With that in mind, I'd like to just offer a prayer. A prayer not only for each one of you that are listening and are a part of this service today, but a prayer for those that we love, and a prayer for all that might hear this, to be reminded to choose to trust God in this moment and to put our faith in him. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises we find in your word. We thank you for the promise that we see in Psalm 91 and the invitation, Lord, to come and to dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. Lord, I just pray that today that we would choose, like the psalmist, to put our faith and trust in you. recognizing that while we won't become invincible, we know that we'll have the promise of your presence with us and your watchful care over our lives. Lord, I just pray that you help us to have an increased confidence and that you would give us faith and trust in you. May your peace, that peace that passes all understanding, fill our hearts. And give us, Lord, the ability and the faith and all that we need in this moment to just truly trust you and to point others to put their faith and trust in you as well. Lord, guide us and direct us in these days. May we be faithful with the opportunities that you give to serve, the opportunities that you give us to speak of the faith that we have in you, and to love and to care for others. Lord, help us to do that all the while we reach out our hand to you and trust you and trust your care in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.